Amen. Praise the Lord, church. Amen. We praise God for all of you today. We thank you for being here. God has been good to us, has he not? Amen. Somebody just said, so good. In spite of what's going on in the world today, God is still good. Can I get a witness? That God is still good. In spite of what's going on, in spite of this world, this country being in such a panic, but God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he gave us power and a sound mind. Amen? And so therefore, I'm not going to operate in fear. I'm operating in faith. Amen? Amen. God has brought us through things much worse than this. Can I get a witness? You look back over our lives and seeing what he's brought us through. All the other different sicknesses and diseases that was coming and plaguing this world. God brought us out of that. Then what makes you think he can't bring you out of this? Amen. I look at what's happening in the world and I think about the corner of Charlotte and Lynn Street. I said, but God is looking over us too. No matter what's going on in the world, God got us in the hollow of his hand. And so here we are today. And as I said on Wednesday night, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Sister Tia, I don't know if you was able to get up Bible Gateway. You did? You got it ready? Go to Matthew chapter 10. I just want to show the church something real quick. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 1. And if you can get it in the, do you have the NLT version? I know you can, I can wait. Amen. And if you have your Bibles, you can go with me there too if you like. This is not the scripture for the text. This is extra today. This is just something a little extra I want us to see. Huh? NLT. Yeah, let's go to Matthew 10. I'm going to Matthew chapter 10. Yeah, Matthew chapter 10. I'm going to read verse 1. That's where I'm at. Matthew 10, verse 1. It says this real easy. Jesus called his 12 disciples and gave them authority. Listen to what it says. Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them authority. Look at somebody and say authority. Tell them again, authority. Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them authority to do something. Hello, somebody. He didn't just call them together to chit-chat. He didn't just call them together to have no powwow. He called them together to do something. He gave them authority. In other words, what he had, he gave it to them. Hello, somebody. He called them together and gave them authority to cast out what? Evil spirits. Look at somebody and tell them that's the devil. Tell them that's demons. Tell them that's imps. Evil spirits. Yes, to cast out evil spirits and to heal. Wait a minute now. See, some of us don't believe the word of God. And to heal. He gave them authority to cast out demons and then to heal every kind. Y'all don't believe that. Every kind of disease and illness. Hello. Hello. Every kind of disease and illness. Corona. Hello. It's a virus. It's a disease. Hello. They said it originated from bats. But they're trying to figure out how did it get from the bats into the humans. So who out there trying to play Batman? Or eating stuff you ain't supposed to be eating. That's why I don't eat Chinese food. I'm trying to help somebody. If it's cold, they'll eat it. Amen. Cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness. Wait a minute. Pastor Ahir, that's the New Testament. That was back then. Oh, really? Okay, then go. Okay. Y'all, I felt that. Y'all making me go somewhere. This ain't even part of my message today, but the Lord just said we got to deal. This is a current issue, so we got to deal with a current issue. Is that all right? Then I get to the message in 1 minute. If that was the case, then let's go back to Hebrews 13 and 8. If Jesus said this in Matthew, back then, if Jesus did this back then and he gave authority, hello, anybody in here a follower of Jesus Christ? Look at somebody and tell them I'm a follower of Jesus. Tell them I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. Tell them. Well, if in Matthew 10, he said he gave authority, that means you and me today. Right. Hello. So he done gave us authority to cast out demons. Yes. Don't be letting devils in your house. Amen. Cast them out. Yes, hello. And then to heal every kind of disease and illness. Right. I got that power too. Amen. So now I go to Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8. Where it tells me Jesus Christ is the same. Right. Yesterday. Back in the Old Testament 2,000 years ago. That was Jesus. Today. How many been healed by Jesus today? I got any miracle folks in the building? Huh? Where you at? Amen. That was then. Yeah. This is now. Yeah. So I have that same power right now to cast out demons and to heal every kind of sickness, disease, and illness. So, I say all that with this. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about your life. I say that because the series that we're in talks about vision. And some of us done lost focus of our vision focusing on this mess going on right now. Hello. We have lost sight. Because now we're getting caught up in all the news. We're getting caught up in, and we have lost sight of the vision that God has given us. We have lost sight of where God is trying to really take us. And so we've allowed this distraction. Hello, somebody. This distraction to get in the way of where God really wants us to be. And so now the distraction has taken over our talk, has taken over our thinking, has taken over our jobs. Some of us ain't working right now. Hello. Some of us worried if we're going to get paid. Some. Let me. God been paying you all your life. God has been taking care of you. That's why he told us, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. Hello? Don't worry about why? Because your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. And if your father, your human father, can do these things, what do you think your heavenly Father going to do? Your heavenly Father knows all. And he's able to take care of you through it all. Keep your trust in God and not in man. Hello? Amen. Hello? Amen. Amen. God will get man together when he needs to. Look what happened in the government the other day. Democrats and Republicans working together. Won't God do it? Somebody better say, won't he do it? I'm talking about folks who literally hate each other. Now, you know Nancy Pelosi don't like Trump. You know she don't. Tearing up papers and Karen rolling her eyes and everything while the man trying to speak. You know she don't like. But the other day, she had to sit at the table. They had to sit at the table to do what's right for the people. Because guess what? Just like in Pharaoh time, this plague ain't passing nobody. Even the president had to get tested. So they know that their family and loved ones can be affected. So yeah, they better all come. God got a way of bringing it all together. Y'all may not like each other, but y'all got to take care of this. Won't he do it? I don't care what your differences are. But this has brought about a change in this country. You talking about putting political arenas aside and working together for the common good of the people? God's doing that. Amen. If for no other reason this corona came, if it was for nothing else to show that our government can work together, and if they can work together to do this, hopefully God will open up their minds to see if we can do this, guess what else we can do? If we just work together. Get back to where we belong. This country was built on "In God We Trust." Amen. God is trying to get our attention. Come back to him. This is the means and method he had to use to get us there. He's getting us there. Look at somebody and tell them, I'm on God's side. Listen, God is using us like never before. And this is a time for the church to stand. Amen. This is just like if a man came in here with a gun and said, okay, I'm going to shoot everybody in here. If you love Jesus, I'm going to shoot you. What you going to do? Amen. I love Jesus. So I'm going to stand up for him. Amen. What about when it gets to the point in time when they tell us we can't have church? Somebody said, well, Pastor, what if they pass the law that you can't open your doors? I said, well, I guess I'll be in jail. Amen. Paul and Silas went to jail for standing up for Jesus. They better not put me in jail during the day. Because come midnight, a change is going to come. Amen. Something's going to shake loose. You're either going to let me go or we're going to tear this place up. Amen. Oh, y'all think that's... Listen, if it happened back then, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. If he did it for Paul and Silas, what makes you think he won't do it for you and me? Oh, I just felt that some of y'all just said, oh, I know that's right, Pastor. I've been to jail. God done let me out a couple of times. Amen. Come on now. Come on. Come on. Come on. Amen. Amen. God done let me out a couple of times. Amen. Amen. Won't he do it? I know he will. Amen. So we got to understand that God is able to keep us from all hurt, harm, and danger. So I want us to focus on what our vision is. What has God really called you to do? What did he call in your spirit? What vision has he given you? What has he given you to do while he got you here on earth? Are you fulfilling that vision? Are you going after your vision? Are you going after the call on your life? Or have you been distracted? I want to get you back on track today. Of where God really wants you to be. And so our vision today, we're talking about clear vision in 2020. And our scriptures are still right there at Proverbs 29 and 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Listen, listen, listen. I want y'all to listen. Where there is no vision. When you're distracted, you don't have no vision. Hello. When things get in your way, you don't have no vision. And then therefore you start to perish. That's why you got to get your vision back. Amen. Look at somebody, tell them I'm focused again. Tell them again, I'm focused again. Because where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now let's go to the message, because the message is going to make real sense right now. If people can't see what God is doing, look around in the world right now. If you can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. I believe Congress and the House, the Senate, the President, they started to see what was going on and they were stumbling all over themselves. Then they had to come to the realization, wait a minute, we can do more together than we can apart. Amen. And so when he started revealing to them that you can work together, great things started happening. They used to say we didn't have no money, but all of a sudden we got billions of dollars. They used to tell us that we was in a recession, but now we got money coming out of everywhere. Now they're telling people, don't worry about if they lay you off. We got your back. Hello? Hello? That's unprecedented in this country. You lose your job, you were just out of your job. But now they found money to give to your company when your company lay you off. Amen. They are most blessed. Some of y'all sitting at home next week, kids ain't going to school, y'all blessed. Amen. Enjoy it. Just say blessed by the Lord. Amen. Keep on living. Amen. Keep on living. Just keep on living. Our theme is still clearly clear vision in 2020. God knew a time like this would come that we would have to keep our eyes open. Amen. To see what's really going on in the world today. To see what's happening in the year of 2020. Who would have known or who would have imagined in 2019 that here we are 3 months into a new year and we're going through the stuff we're going through. Somebody better praise God for clear vision that we can see what's really going on. And so we've been going after vision out of the book called Visionary. And we've already been through 12 blocks. And I'm just going to say them real quick. Number one, a vision begins as a concern. Number two, a vision does not necessarily require immediate action. Pray for opportunities and plan as if you expect God to answer your prayers. Everybody remember all this? Amen. God is using your circumstances to position and prepare you to accomplish his vision for your life, even right now. Even what's going on right now. You may not like it. Go back to number four, Sister Tia. I said I was just going to keep going, but I got the Spirit just said, hold on for a minute. Even what's going on right now, God is using it. How many know God is always in control? Whatever's going on in your life right now, God already know about it. He allowed it to happen. And if God allowed it to happen, he has a plan for it. And so what's going on in our world today, God allowed it. He has a plan for it. I got to rest in God and say, okay, Lord, what's the plan? Hello, hello. I got to say, okay, God, this circumstance is happening to me. So what are you using this for to get me to my next level? Well, if it's nothing else, it would be to build my faith. Amen. Hello? To build my faith in God. If it's nothing else, if everything is going, I had to have faith to have church open today. Amen. Hello? Amen. Hello? Amen. Hello? Amen. Hello? Amen. I got some of my other pastor friends, they sending emails and texts and everything. We shutting down. We shutting down. We shutting down. What you doing? We shutting down. We shutting down. I said, no, we're going to be open. Amen. I said, whoever comes, come. But the doors of God are going to be open. Hello? I don't have to deal with it on their level because they got 30,000 people show up on the weekend. But they still God's people. Hello? So where are we going to stand? Amen? This came a time where they told us to start bowing down to idols. I wonder what we would do. This came a time where they told us to stop praying. What would we do? Hello? Hello? What would we do? What would we do? I'm willing to stand here by myself. Amen. To do what God called me to do. Amen. So God is calling us to use every circumstance to prepare us and accomplish His vision for our life. Number five, what God originates, He orchestrates. He started this thing, He's going to end it. Before you talk, walk before you talk. Amen. Walk before you talk. Investigate before you initiate. Communicate your vision as a solution to a problem that must be addressed immediately. Cast your vision to the appropriate people at the appropriate time. Tell somebody timing is everything. And having the right people on your side. Don't expect others to take greater risks or make greater sacrifices than you have. What would I look like telling you to come to church today and I'm not here? He told us to come to church. He ain't here. Where the board at? We need to talk about this. Amen. Don't expect others to take greater risks. Number 10, respond to criticism with prayer. Pray to God. Remember where He brought you from. And if necessary, have a revision of the plan. Amen. The vision don't change. Just how you get there might change. Hello. Amen. And then number 11, don't confuse your plan with God's vision. Amen. Some of us want to fit our plan into making it God's vision for our lives because it just feels better for us. Right. Amen. Or this is something that we decided that we would really like to do. And so we think of all kinds of excuses to make it happen. But yet that's not God's plan for your life. Right. Amen. And so that's what He's telling us. Don't confuse your plans with God's vision. How many of you know your plans change? I know mine do. Hello. My plans, I do have plans, but when God changes them, I'm willing to switch. I'm willing to turn on a dime from whatever God has told me to do. I know I planned to do it that way. Amen. But now God's telling me to wait. Amen. I didn't do announcements today. Real quickly, our distribution of the Bibles have been postponed. I'm not saying we're not going to do it, but now is not the time. Hello. People won't be too receptive right now. People ain't opening their doors. Hello. To strangers right now. Hello. Amen. And so we're going to postpone for a better time. Just like I planned to go out of town. I had to postpone for a better time. That don't mean I'm not going to do it. Hello. Just being smart, wise, change the plan, do something different. Until God opened up the doors for it to happen. And that's how we have to look at things that happen in our lives. Amen. Don't get mad at God. Hello, wait. Ooh. Some of us get there. We get mad at God. But then we're mad at God, but we take it out on people. Oh, did you hear that? Did you hear that? We get mad at God and we take it out on people. Just ask Cain and Abel. He was mad at God, but he killed his brother. Read your Bible. Happens all the time. We're mad at what happened in our life, but then we get on with other people about it. Right. Pastor Lynch said, we got to learn how to forgive God. Not that God needs to be forgiven. But because God allowed it to happen in our life, we got to say, okay, God, I get it. Now help me, Lord, to understand what you're trying to teach me. So I don't be lashing out at people. Hello. Amen. Then we get down to number 12, visions are refined. They don't change. Plans are revised. They rarely stay the same. Amen. And then we went into reading scripture, Nehemiah 5, 1 through 5. And we read through the scripture, and this is where they were saying they were starting to get tired. Amen. Everybody remember? They started to get tired, flip, and they started to have to pay on their money. They had to take their children and sell them into slavery so that they could have money to go get food to eat. All this stuff was happening. They were starting to say some of the other Jews was being unfair to other Jews. Go ahead, turn. But then building block says this, visions thrive in an environment of unity. Hello, somebody. They die in an environment of division. Can I help somebody real quick? Listen. Nehemiah knew that he could not ignore the problems that he was having. Like, how many of y'all in here drive a car? Who all in here drive? Let me see your hand. Amen. If you drive in your car and you start to feel your steering wheel shake a little bit, anybody ever experienced that? Your steering wheel shaking a little bit? That means your alignment is out. Now, anybody ignored it? You just kept on. That's why I tell the truth, Rick. You just kept on driving. And then next thing you know, the tire bust. Amen. Because it was rubbing on one side and it got so thin that it went through the tread and poof, you got a blowout. Why? Because you didn't take care of the problem. How many of us have problems when you don't take care of them? They get worse. Amen. Hello. Hello. That old saying, just sweep it under the carpet. Yeah. All you're doing is just building up a molehill. Amen. And every time you sweep something under the carpet, you stumble over it every time. Amen. So instead of sweeping stuff under the carpet, the Bible's trying to help us understand. Sometimes you just got to take on problems head on. Amen. Amen. How big they become is usually determined about on our willingness to address them. Amen. Sometimes we think a problem is so big, but when you go to address it, it turns out to be nothing. Amen. You think somebody mad at you or they done said something about you and you, you go let them have it and they say, well, hold on, wait a minute. What are you talking about? Now, all of a sudden, now you got to back up. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought, amen. Sometimes we got to learn how to handle situations in our lives the way God wants us to handle them so that we'll be on the same page with God. Amen. Let's look at Nehemiah 5, 16 through 13. When I heard the outcry, he's talking about when the people was complaining about how they was being treated, how they was being mistreated by their own people, right? He said, but when I heard the outcry and these charges, I was very angry. I pondered them in my mind and then accused the nobles and officers. I told them, you are, what'd he tell them? You are. Sometimes you just got to go to the source. Right. Amen. These are the people that was messing with his own people. So he had to go right to the source and he went right to them. He said, you are exacting usury from your own countrymen. In other words, you taking money from your own people. Hello. Hello. I want y'all to listen. So I called together a large meeting to deal with them and said, as far as possible, we have brought back our Jewish brothers who were sold to the Gentiles. Wait a minute, he's doing something now. Now you are selling your brothers only for them to be sold back to us. They kept quiet because they could find nothing to say. So I continue. Nehemiah is still talking. What are you doing? It's not right. You ever had to tell somebody that? To their face. What you're doing is not right. Shouldn't you walk in the fear of our God to avoid the reproach of our Gentile enemies? See what's going on. I and my brothers and my men are also lending the people money and grain. But let the exacting of usury stop. Give back to them immediately their fields, their vineyards, olive groves and houses, and also the usury you are charging them. The hundredth part of the money, grain, new wine, and oil. Give it back. Because you're wrong. You're doing wrong. Number one, you're doing wrong to God's people. Now, if you don't want the wrath of God to come down on you, you better straighten it up. I'm trying to help somebody right now. God see the dirt you doing. God see what you're doing to our own people. We got them out of slavery. Now you put them back in slavery. Give back what belongs to them. Give it back to them. We trying to work for God. We trying to do what God called us to do. And you trying to make it worse. Give it back. What'd they say? We will give it back. And we will not demand anything more from them. We will do as you say. Then I summoned the priests and made the nobles and officials take an oath to do what they had promised. Right. Somebody got to stand up for justice. Hello. Didn't we learn that in Sunday school? Somebody got to stand up for justice. Somebody got to do what's right. Somebody got to call some people to the carpet. Amen. And when God do those kind of things, and he let us know how he's doing it and when he's doing it. I got one more verse. I also shook out the folds of my robe and said, in this way, may God shake out of his house and possessions every man who does not keep his promise. In other words, he did this to him. This is what he did right here. This is what he did. And he said he's going to ask God to do the same thing, to shake out all the swindlers, the liars, hello, the cheaters, going to shake you out. Hello. If you don't keep your promise, God going to shake you out. Amen. So may such a man be shaken out and emptied. You wonder why some folks are really going through. Don't worry about when people do dirt to you. Just say, God, shake them out. And I dare you to step back and let God do the shaking in some folk lives instead of you trying to shake it. Because God can do it a way that you can't ever do it. God can do it in a way that you can't even imagine. God will make them come back to you. Shut up, straight on. The one they was hating on, he'll make them come back to you. Anybody had one of your haters come back to you? Amen. Huh? And they came back humble, didn't they? Amen. Won't he do it? Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Shake him out. At this, the whole assembly said, amen. And we just thought we said amen. They were saying amen 6,000 years ago. Amen. And praise the Lord. And the people did as they had promised. Amen. We got to learn how to say amen and praise the Lord and do what God has told us to do. Amen. You got to understand something else. Nehemiah, I'm going to go home on this. Nehemiah had influence over the people. Y'all ready for this? Influence is far more critical to the success of your vision than your position. Hello. Take that in for a second, Sister Juan. Take that in for a second. Amen. Amen. I'm going to say that for a second. First, I'm going to say it one second. I don't care what your position is. If you don't have influence, it don't mean nothing. Because in your position, you still can be nasty. In your position, you still can be cruel. In your position, you can still be puffed up in pride. In your position, don't nobody really like you. Anybody have a supervisor that nobody really liked them? But still they was the supervisor. But everybody in the department know that don't nobody like them. But yet they still the supervisor. And whenever they ask for something to get done, it's so hard for it to get done. But have anybody ever had a supervisor who really wasn't worried about their position? Huh? They weren't worried about the position. They was more in tune with getting the work done, and they rolled up their sleeve and they jumped in there with you and said, look what we are doing, not look what I'm making you do. That kind of supervisor can ask you to do something, you say, when you want me to do it. That's supervisor asks you to do something, you say, how high you want me to jump? You need me to stay late to help get this done? You want me to help you? Amen. You see your supervisor working late, and before you go out the door, you say, wait a minute, let me go back and help. Because of the influence, not the position. Nehemiah had influence. In fact, when it comes to vision, position is optional. I don't care about your position, but influence is essential. I need folks who got some influence. I don't need CEOs. Hello. I don't need presidents. I don't need bosses. I need folks who got some influence. Amen. And Nehemiah had influence. That's why they was able to say, you know what, Nehemiah? You're right. We're going to do what you said do. Why? Because Nehemiah humbled himself. He didn't even have to be there. He didn't even have to be there to build a wall. So no, he didn't. And so what gave Nehemiah just great influence over the people was his moral authority. Moral authority is the relationship other people see between what you say and what you do. Hello? Between what you claim to be and what you are. Amen? We will not allow ourselves to be influenced by those who lack moral authority in our eyes. Inconsistency between what is said and what is done inflicts a moral wound on a leader's influence. If you can't do what you say, then why you want me to do what you say? Because you're not even doing what you say. Amen? And so we got to be very, very careful. We got to be very, very careful. Amen? When we're standing. Amen? We got to make sure. We got to make sure that we're doing what God really called us to do. Amen? Amen. Give the Lord a praise. I'm going to stop right there.